the war, the bereaved found a lack of humanity, confusion, and poor organization in dealing with their needs. And it took a campaign by a journalist, Jean Carr, in order to ensure that adequate compensation was eventually forthcoming for the relatives of the dead and for the medically discharged. She has chronicled this in a book, Another Story, Women in the Falklands War, and her feelings are possibly summed up in this sentence. It is appalling that a system that could so rapidly mobilize a 28,000 strong task force was so incapable of dealing with the consequences of such a brief, bitter war. On the fourth anniversary of the war earlier this year, members of the Malvinas Veterans Group, which represents 6,000 of the 8,500 soldiers who served in the islands, set up a protest camp in the Plaza of the Republic in Buenos Aires. The plight of some of them is distressing, as the Veterans Benefit Bill, 1984, had not been passed by the Argentine government, and so former servicemen had not been given the tests they needed to determine what assistance they required to enable them to return to a normal life. And this is 4 years after the war. The islanders themselves have had to learn to cope with the different situation from before 1982. Perhaps one way in which they, the islanders, have suffered is that their relatives have had to be brought to Britain when seriously ill, and some have died here, thousands of miles from their own families. The opening of a new hospital next year will alleviate this difficulty, but apparently the snag there is that that hospital is going to be extremely costly to operate. Since the war, young servicemen have died in accidents that have occurred whilst they have been helping to maintain Fortress Falklands, and such tragedies are bound to continue as long as we are keeping a large number of personnel on and around the islands. The establishment from next February of the Falkland Islands Interim Conservation and Management Zone, the FICZ, of 150 miles, and the formal assertion of the government's right to a fisheries limit of 200 miles around the islands, as announced at the end of this October, may possibly lead to patrols in hazardous weather and therefore to more casualties. I wonder if the islanders realize the awesome responsibility that has been thrust upon them by making their wishes of paramount importance. When they hear of the vast sums that this country can ill afford being spent on the Falklands, when they see pictures of the men terribly maimed, their lives shattered, when they think of the bereaved mothers and wives and the fatherless children, do they not realize that this is the price to be paid by others, not themselves, for the veto that their wishes effectively has put on any negotiations? I ask the question, do they count the cost?